In 1961, U.S. forces were defeated by the Cuban people in a popular uprising at the Bay of Pigs. Ever since, the U.S. has imposed a trade embargo against Cuba and has threatened foreign firms with grave penalties for doing business there. For 17 consecutive years, Pastors for Peace have directly challenged the U.S. travel ban and economic blockade of Cuba. U.S. Homeland Security agents detained the 2005 Cuba caravan at the U.S. border and confiscated some of the donated goods. But the caravan was still a success. Over the next coming weeks, the Pastors for Peace Cuba caravan will again break the embargo. Caravanistas will visit more than 120 U.S. and Canadian cities, picking up medical and educational supplies along the way. Traveling on 13 different routes in school buses, ambulances, trucks, and cars, the caravans will meet on July 2nd in McAllen, Texas, and cross into Mexico. Once inside Mexico, the caravan of vehicles and goods will be sent to Cuba by boat. The caravanistas will spend the next 8 days in Cuba visiting hospitals, schools, and other social projects to trade with the Cuban people and exchange ideas on culture and politics. Over the weekend of June 24th and 25th, about a dozen Santa Cruz activists busied themselves at the Live Oak Grange, sorting medical supplies, soaps, books, pens, pencils, and automotive parts, among other items, as part of the Pastors for Peace 2006 Cuba Friend Shipment Caravan. I spoke with a number of the caravanistas as they made their preparations for the trip. The Santa Cruz caravanistas to Cuba will be blogging on their website at myspace.com/Santa Cruz caravanistas. So that's myspace.com/Santa Cruz caravanistas. Here is Amelia McDonald. She's one of the people helping to sort the goods Saturday afternoon.
What are you doing right now?
I'm wiping down a wheelchair.
Why?
Because we're sending it to Cuba with a caravan as a form of humanitarian aid.
And how long have you been helping with this campaign?
Gosh, since about January.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why do you feel it's important?
Cuba is a really special place for me because of its politics since the revolution in 59. The fact that it's 90 miles from our coast. And yet still maintains its political ideals, I think is a really amazing and beautiful thing. And I feel like anything that we can do to help their struggle is really important. And especially just with what's going on in the world today with the war and everything, and the fact that our government continuously doesn't listen to international opinion or the opinion of the people here, I think it's really important to stand in solidarity with whatever you can. And Cuba is a shining light in world politics, in my opinion.
What are your thoughts on the blockade? There's been an economic blockade for, you know, dozens of years.
The blockade happened after the Bay of Pigs, and I think it's inhumane and unjust, and it's a really fantastic example of how the U.S. uses hunger and disease as a political weapon, which I think is morally and ethically wrong. And I think regardless of what someone's political views are or how a group of people choose to govern themselves, we should not let our government... Can I swear? Yeah. Fuck with them. And I just think it's wrong. And I think the blockade is a bunch of shit. And they're not doing it for me. And they're not doing it for you. But they're doing it against a group of people who I would consider brothers and sisters. And so I think it's wrong.
Any other thoughts that you have about the caravan or what, you know, the work that it takes to organize something like this?
The caravan is inspiring. The people who are involved locally are really beautiful people who have spent a lot of time organizing and fundraising for this, and the people who donated are just fantastic people. And I think one of the greatest things about the caravan is that it is a national event, and activists and socially conscious people from all over the country get together and stand together. And there's a connection there with people who are like-minded and who are against our government. And I think that's really important and beautiful. And I think that everybody should get involved and come hang out next year, because I unfortunately don't think that the blockade is going to be dropped anytime soon.
All right. Well, thanks for your comments and your work.
Thanks.
That was so scary.
What's your name?
Amanda.
Amanda what?
Paulson.
Paulson. How old are you?
24.
And what? Can you tell me what you're doing?
I am packing up supplies for the people of Cuba in this box. We're calling it educational supplies because it'll get distributed through the schools. But there's things like deodorant and shampoo, pencils, stickers, workbooks for kids to color in, all kind of in one box.
And why is this important to you?
It's important to me that we share the wealth of our country with all people all over the globe, and the fact that my government has told me we're not allowed to share that with our neighbors, I feel is very wrong and immoral. So I'm going on this trip to stand up to our government and send people, the people of Cuba, things that they need, like medical supplies.
Basic things like pencils, too.
Exactly, exactly. Come in short supply, and things we take for granted, and most of the medical supplies that we have been donated from people who have them in surplus, because our healthcare system has provided us with so much, and our waste now is going to go and be very useful to other people.
Is this your first time on the Pastors for Peace caravan?
Yes, it is.
And what do you expect to happen?
Well, I expect personally to have a great journey. It'll be very challenging emotionally and physically. It's going to be about a 2-week trip for me in total, and I just look forward to the educational things that I'll be presented with. We'll be visiting the Latin American School of Medicine and some other amazing things that have come out of Cuba. That'll be really great.
How did you get involved with this campaign?
I had a friend here in Santa Cruz who was working with the caravan, and she couldn't go on the trip this year, but I was able to take the time off of work, thought it was a great thing to do, and I went for it. And I'm doing it, and it's great. It's been nothing but positive.
I know last year they had some trouble at the border. Do you anticipate any kind of attempt by the U.S. federal authorities to stop you from going forward?
Well, of course, we're very wary of it and aware that there's this possibility. And I think ultimately it comes down to the fact that we cannot be afraid of our government. And if they want to make trouble, then they want to make trouble. We are going in peace. We are going as a caravan of friendship. And I feel like if there is going to be a problem, that is their prerogative. And we are just going to maintain our mission of peace.
Are there other groups from other parts of the U.S. that you're meeting up with on the road? Can you explain a little bit about the caravan itself?
Of course. There are about, I think, 17 different caravans coming from all across North America. We all meet together in McAllen, Texas. And we have a 3-day orientation where we all look at the aid that we've collected. We're going to repack it. And we're going to prepare for the journey, crossing the borders, and then actually being in Cuba. So we'll meet up with all the other caravanistas from across the country in Texas. And, yeah, there should be about 17 vehicles, I think, going in that will end up making the trip all the way to Cuba.
Do you know about what, how much stuff is coming from Santa Cruz or from the West Coast leg of the trip?
Well, from Santa Cruz, we have these 3 vans, these 3 big buses, and they're going to be full. And I don't know how much that is in terms of weight. It's kind of what we're figuring out right now, packing it all up and seeing what is actually going in here. But it's really manifested itself into a lot of stuff. Lots of wheelchairs, lots of walkers, lots of soaps and deodorant, things that people in this community have been collecting and saving. My neighbor came over to my house last night with like 3 boxes of medical supplies that he'd been saving in his garage for this trip. So we have a really supportive community. It's really, people have really pulled together.
And these 3 vehicles, they will be left behind as well, given to the Cuban people?
Exactly. So we're doing things like buying extra belts, and I'm not an automotive person, but we're going to be buying extra supplies for these vehicles so that they can maintain them for several years, because, of course, it'll be hard for them to get the parts necessary to fix these vehicles. But they'll keep them working, much opposite our country, where they are basically just extra and would end up going and sitting in a junkyard.
And 2 of these are ambulances, correct?
Well, one of them was a police SWAT vehicle. It's a 1983 SWAT van. And, yes, there is an ambulance, and then we also have a big van that was a van of a personal family.
Wow. Any other comments that you have about the caravan and your experiences so far with it?
Just that it's been incredibly positive. The response that we're getting from the community, we've been at several farmers markets with our vehicles that are going down, and nothing but love and wishes of peace from the community. So it makes me reassured in the fact that I'm doing something that's worthwhile and positive.
And then do you know if people can keep up to date with the progress of the tour as it makes its way to Cuba?
Absolutely. We are putting together plans for media outreach while we're doing the trip. And specifically to the Santa Cruz group, we have a MySpace page, which I'd love to plug it right now, which is www.myspace.com www.cubacaravan.org/Santa Cruz Caravanistas. And we will be updating. You can see the schedule of where the caravan will be, the stops that it's making in California as it gets its way to Texas, and then from Texas into Mexico to Cuba. We're posting photos, and there will be blogs online where people will be journaling during the trip. Cool. So please check it out.
We will. We'll keep up to date on that. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you.
So we're sitting in the former SWAT vehicle here as part of the caravan, the Pastors for Peace caravan to Cuba. I'm with Sandino Gomez.
That's me.
With the Youth Coalition at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, and he's the Youth Empowerment Coordinator, and he's also representing the Brown Berets on this trip. You'll be driving this vehicle, right?
That's correct. I've volunteered myself to bring this former vehicle of oppression to an island that has been resisting oppression for well over, 40 years now, and it's quite an honor to represent the Watsonville Brown Berets on this journey, because really important element of this trip is the concept of solidarity, and I'm just really proud to represent the Berets and express our solidarity with Cuba, the island of Cuba, and the people there, and what they're trying to do and what they represent as an alternative to this government and this economic system, which really seems to value money and power more than people, and it's just criminal. It's really at the point our government is just out of control and criminal, and in the eyes of the world, we are just madmen, oil addicted outlaws. And so, when our quote unquote president starts talking about spreading democracy and freedom, this is what spreading democracy and freedom looks like. Bringing help to people who need it, not bringing bombs to people who don't need them, or bringing more oil contracts and work contracts to people who are already wealthy and corporations that are very well connected. It's just such double speak to hear, the mainstream media represent what this country's about when you really look at the realities behind it. So,
what kinds of material aid is being brought?
Things as simple as like pencils and aspirin are greatly appreciated out in Cuba because of the economic embargo. Basically everything is just off limits to them because there's not a lot of production and manufacturing that happens. Formerly in the United States, it was like one of the world's manufacturing powerhouses. Because of outsourcing, globalization, the quest for cheaper labor by, transnational corporations, we're not quite the manufacturing powerhouse that we once were. But we are still one of the largest, business providers or, middlemen in the world. So the economic embargo, the trade embargo against Cuba really prohibits the people from getting even the most basic supplies, like I said. And so that's a lot of what we're bringing. My understanding is the Pastors for Peace caravan really works with Cuban organizations to find out exactly what it is they need in their health clinics, in their schools, in their farming cooperatives. And they bring it to them. They bring it directly to them. And then not only that, but this year and several years past, I believe, they're doing what we call the reverse challenge, where we're actually bringing Cuban-made goods back into the United States to help, impoverished communities here. And that includes like biodegradable rodenticides, essentially non-toxic pest control, and solar panels that'll eventually go to a Native American in reservation. So not only, this really shouldn't be looked at as just as like charity to Cuba, but this is really like, obedience to our conscience and civil disobedience against, an unjust and an immoral law. I love on the back of our t-shirt here, it says, if loving my neighbor is a crime, that's a law I want to break. And that's exactly what we're doing here. We're breaking an unjust immoral law to help our neighbor. And, I know Cuba would do the exact same for us if the roles were reversed.
In past years, these caravans have been blocked at the border and had equipment confiscated, particularly computers and other technological equipment. What do you think might happen this year? Do you have any thoughts about that possibility?
I'm hoping that because this madman administration is kind of down in the polls, that they won't want yet another scandal. And I think what we're doing, they don't really want to publicize. I think I'm hoping that we're going to be protected by the fact that the Bush administration and the Treasury Department aren't going to want to look bad. When they block and repress, simple things like you know, diapers and pencils and aspirin from going to a country to help, you know, impoverished people, I think it really makes them look bad, even worse than they already do. Not that they're that concerned about their image anyway, because obviously we have, you know, war that majority of the population doesn't want. We have an economy that's just crumbling. I mean, there's obviously these people aren't that concerned about public opinion, but at the same time, they don't want to appear like total heartless bastards. So it's a balance. It's a balance. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to expect. I do know that they have detained the caravan in the past and made them sit for several hours and, you know, interrogated people and took their information. So I'm prepared for all that. I'm just hoping that it goes smoothly, though.
What are the repercussions for U.S. citizens who do break the blockade and go to Cuba? Is it a fine, jail time? What do you know about that?
My understanding is it's only a fine, that this is a civil violation. It's not necessarily a criminal violation. The U.S. Treasury Department is in charge of issuing licenses to American citizens who want to go to Cuba, but it's very difficult to acquire one of these licenses. There's only certain categories regarding certain industries that allow you to, you know, travel to Cuba. So it's very difficult to go. And that's part of the reason why we do go without a license on this blockade. What was the question again? Really brain fart is there.
Talk about the logistics of this particular leg of the tour. This is obviously the West Coast leg, starting out in Santa Cruz. Where will you be heading along the coast, and who will you be hooking up with on the way?
My understanding is our first stop will be in Monterey, Sunday, the 25th, and we're going to be picking up one other person there. From there, we're going to travel down the coast, stopping in Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, San Diego, and then once we get down south far enough, we're just going to head east, and eventually I believe there's like 14 routes. All 14 routes are going to meet outside of McAllen, Texas, and there we're going to do our orientation and training, and from there, you know, it's Cuba or bust. We're going to cross into Mexico and travel to the coast, and then from there, all the aid will go by boat, the people will go by plane, and we're going to meet back up with our gear, and my understanding is help distribute it once we're actually in Cuba. So,
how many people are leaving from Santa Cruz on this trip?
There are going to be 4 people leaving in the 2 vehicles, and then another 3 people are going to fly to Texas and meet us there. They're, because of various commitments, not able to make the entire journey. I just feel lucky enough, and like I have the opportunity to do it this year, so I'm going to go all the way and from start to finish, you know?
And I guess what else can you tell me about the campaign thus far and your participation in it, like in terms of organizing this and raising money and getting equipment together, getting all this material aid together?
You know, I wish I could say I was more involved. I really haven't been heavily involved in the pre-organizing, all of the amazing amount of work and organizing that's gone into this local contingent. I was really trying to help them promote the opportunity for a Brown Beret to go. I wasn't necessarily trying to be that Brown Beret, but when no one took them up on the offer, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to be that person. So I'm a Johnny come lately here. There's, you know, people like Amanda and Amelia that have been working really hard in solidarity with this local group and with the Cuban movement in general since like January. So I do know that these people start organizing months in advance, and I've helped out with a couple events, like a fundraiser party that they had and the Cuba garage sale that they do every year prior to the caravan leaving. And I mean, I've done some basic stuff. I've definitely spread the word of mouth, and a little bit on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. But not a lot, really, you know. There's been other people that have been carrying the organizing much more than myself.
Any final thoughts as you're about to embark on this journey?
God, it's just, again, such an honor. You know, I feel like I'm really doing something here that means a lot, because really one of the transformative experiences that I had in my educational career here and was speaking with a Sandinista comandante, a former guerrillero, you know, freedom fighter. And just his words to me, you know, this is a man who fought and, you know, essentially killed for his beliefs, and is now a teacher, you know, never gave up that revolutionary struggle, even after the triumph of the revolution. And, you know, I got the honor to meet him, and we had many different conversations while I was down in Nicaragua working there. And, you know, he told me, you know, thank you so much for coming here and for thinking of us and trying to help our people. We appreciate it. But we really need people like you in the United States trying to change that country, trying to change your government, because your government is what prevented the Sandinista revolution from being successful. It was, you know, we're ready. Essentially, he told me, we're ready. As soon as your government will permit it, we're going to have a whole nother revolution. We'll do this all over again, and this is going to be a much better country. But until your government allows other countries and governments to, you know, stray away from the Washington consensus and the neoliberal economic policies that have led to disaster in countries like Mexico, Argentina, and, you know, have caused immense suffering and, you know, privatization of, you know, people's very lives, that they're ready. You know, we need to do the work here. And so I'm just really honored to challenge an immoral U.S. government federal law yet again.
Great. Thanks for your comments, and good luck on the trip.
Thank you.
You're tuned to the Indie Newswire show on Freak Radio 101.1 FM. We're listening to some interviews conducted Saturday, June 24th, as people worked to pack vehicles and ambulances and former SWAT mobiles with goods to Cuba. We'll continue on with some of that now.
What's your name?
Connie Jones.
And how old are you?
73.
How long have you been organizing with the Pastors for Peace Caravan to Cuba?
Last year was my first year, and I have been involved a little bit again this year.
Will you be going on the caravan this year?
Not this year, but I certainly hope to in the future.
And what do you have here? What kind of stuff? You have a lot of medicines?
I have a lot of medicines. I'm sorting. I'm getting rid of anything that has an expiration date that will run out too soon to be usable. And I also have a lot of medical equipment, catheter materials, and things like that.
Why is this important to you?
Here's some asthma medication, and I know that this stuff is good. It's brand new. It hasn't been used, and it's wonderful stuff. I know that. It's important because I'm embarrassed by the blockade of our government, and I want to do everything I can to help Cuba get the medicines, educational supplies, and sports equipment that can be used both by children and adults.
What do you think about the U.S. government's claims that the Castro government is, you know, communist dictatorship, they punish people, they have extrajudicial executions, these kinds of criticisms of the government there in Cuba?
I don't know anything about that. I'm very aware of the good that Cuba does throughout Latin America, training many doctors and sending them to countries where they don't have enough physicians. And I certainly support their literacy campaigns and their efforts to make sure that all people are fed, clothed, and have work, and are educated. Very important.
How do you think we can export those values to countries like the United States, wealthy countries where people have access?
Get rid of the Bush regime and substitute anything.
Can you talk a bit about what kind of organizing went in to get all this equipment together and how this all came about here in Santa Cruz?
Well, it's such, other people could tell you more about that. I usually just help to put it together once it's gathered, but it's the efforts of many people over many months. Organizing starts in September to be ready for the trip in July. Lots and lots of fundraisers, and lots of meetings with people, throwing out ideas and figuring out how to purchase the buses, the beautiful buses that are going this year.
Great. Well, I appreciate your time. Any other comments that you have?
Viva Castro, viva la revolución.
All right, thank you. What's your name?
Violet Puritz.
And how long have you been involved with this campaign?
Well, my husband and myself are going, and we have We thought of going for a long time, and we just thought that it's now or never, you know. And we're not getting any younger, and we're not afraid.
Why is it important to you to be involved in this campaign and to break the blockade?
Well, I think people are suffering as a result of the blockade. Larry, my husband and myself went on a AYH bike tour when I think it was 70-something or other, and we loved it. We had a wonderful time, and we feel that we want to go back, you know. But the primary reason is because it's a blockade, and we don't want to see people suffering. And after we come back from here, we want to work on New Orleans. We're on a mission. You know, we're retired. We don't have anything to fear. And we feel that we have to do this. It's important. We're people that believe in fear and a justice world. And we're just afraid if we don't grab control of this government. If they don't see what they have to see, it's one world, it's one environment, and we all have to work together. We all have to see, and there's the idea that it's communist. I mean, that there isn't. We don't even know what that means anymore. You know, what is the point? What, you know? It's kind of ugly. It's ugly. And it's very comparable to, as far as I can see, to New Orleans. And in a lot of ways, they're dark people, and we don't care about. They're expendable. And thank you, Larry. And I feel that they're not expendable to me. And I just feel very, very strong that, you know, just... How could I live on this earth and not take a stand? I just can't be like that.
So you have no fears about potential repercussions for crossing into Cuba? The Treasury Department, I understand, often will cite people. You have no worries about that?
No, I'm not afraid of them. But I did take my make sure my will was up on date, you know, up to date, and that. My stand won't affect anybody else, you know. I want that to be clear to my family, but I think it's very important. I think that we're on their list no matter what, and because we take stands, we're a part of the group that vigil every Friday in Watsonville. And I think that doesn't matter. I mean, they can't fool me about that, you know. And they can't scare me about it, because I know today it's me and tomorrow it's... I mean, today it's you and tomorrow it's me, you know, or whatever. You know how that story. But I know that it's important that we must take a stand. We have to start working very diligently about this. This is, you know, they're just... It's a modern type of fascism. And people aren't even aware of it. You know, and I think it's... I want to make them aware. And if they take me, that'll make a statement.
Any other comments that you have?
No, I'm proud to participate with this caravan, and I'm proud I can do it.
Well, thanks for doing it.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
That was Violet Peretz talking to me on Saturday. And out at the Live Oak Grange, where people packed boxes, sorted medicines, counted pencils, fixed automobiles, and otherwise made preparations for their caravan to Cuba. You can keep up with the Santa Cruz Caravanistas on their myspace.com/Santa Cruz Caravanistas website. We're going to end this segment with just a short, quick comment from Brett Kupfer, who spoke to me as he packed boxes.
The whole thing about the character of the Cuban government. I get so frustrated when I hear that, because I know that they are just, the U.S. government has just been so angry that they can't rip the Cuban people off of their resources anymore. They're so mad since the Cubans kicked the U.S. corporations out in the early 60s, and the U.S. is running the mafia through Cuba and all that, and that's the whole reason why the U.S. is angry with Cuba, is that they can't get their resources for free anymore and impoverish those people. Yeah, and what are the Cubans doing? They're sending medical doctors to South America. They're giving free eye surgery to people around the world who can't otherwise afford it. And what do they do in Africa? They help the Angolans beat the South African army and help bring down apartheid in South Africa. Who's ever talking about that? Well, the U.S. was providing the South African government, the apartheid government, with arms, even the development of nuclear weapons, which they had. all by the United States, and they're trying to claim that the Cuban government is somehow immoral. Give me a break. I'm just so frustrated by that kind of talk.